Welcome back to the Shea Station podcast. It's Wednesday, March 27th. Opening day is a day away. The Mets play at 1 o'clock tomorrow, supposedly, rain permitting, and we're very excited to get into it. We have a very fun episode today. Joining me, as always, is Jerry Blevins, looking a little bit more, you know, less disheveled. You know, we were kind of in a crazy state the last time we talked. Now we have our thoughts together, and I'm excited to hear your kind of expanded thoughts on JD Martinez. But first, how you doing, man?
I'm lovely. It was a date night on St. Pete. I had a couple of days off spending it with friends and my wife, clearly. I'm really excited for the season to start tomorrow, even though it might not start for the New York Metropolitans tomorrow.
Let's manifest good things. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it does, because it just makes everything more fun to the team you root for to also be involved. You feel left out. I'm really, really excited for this season to get started.
Yeah, I am as well. Weirdly enough, MLB decided to put one game on at 1 o'clock. So if the Mets get rained out, opening day doesn't get kicked off until 3, and then, you know, the Orioles might get rained out, the Phillies might get rained out, so it might not get started till 4. So baseball doing its best as always. But yeah, man, I'm super excited. It kind of feels surreal that it's a day away. It always kind of sneaks up on me. I think it felt a little bit more real last year with PPPs, because we had like our own kind of countdown. Like every episode was a day away. And that's also what led us to kind of do today's episode, because we didn't really get to do over-unders this year. And I think it was really fun to have fans submit it. We posted it on our social media, on Twitter and Instagram. Submit your own custom over-under line for the Mets. We got a lot of fun ones. A lot of, you know, kind of interesting ones that I think are going to be hard to answer. Before we get to all that, we did a little JD Martinez emergency episode last time. I spouted a bunch of numbers after you left, and I'm glad you got your overarching thoughts out there. But I wanted to, after the dust has settled, pick your brain on it now, because we know that JD Martinez is probably going to start the first 10 days of the season at AAA, and after that join the club, and we have all these new finalized roster moves that we can get into too. But, you know, 4 days after the fact, 5 days, whatever it might be, how are you feeling about JD Martinez on the New York Mets?
Like, honestly, even better than I was from the jump. Like, I was just super excited for a multitude of reasons. One being that their patience weighed, like, it worked out for them.
Right.
And they actually, like, pulled the trigger on their guy. I mean, this is a significant signing because of the 110%, what is it, the overage that they are in the
tax on the dollar, the whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the salary cap, basically. For them to go out and spend that much money, I know they structured it interestingly, so I don't know how that all goes down. But the fact that they still pulled the trigger, because it sends a sign to everybody in that organization that they really do think that they compete, and they should think that they can compete. They didn't stunt anybody's growth. You know, obviously, Vientos going down doesn't help him, but it might help him, to be honest. He's got an option. That's part of the deal. He's going to get regular ABs. He's not going to platoon like he might have in the big leagues. It lights maybe a little bit more of a fire. But the truth is, I'm even more excited about it now, because I think it's dived.
I think you dove. You dived in?
This is why, like, English is so tough for people, including ourselves.
Completely normal language.
Spanish is very easy. Anyway, I looked deeper into how JD Martinez slotted and locked into that four, the cleanup spot, how much better it makes the New York Mets. I took it from a pitching standpoint, having to attack. Like, number one, people talk about how it protects JD Martinez, or helps protect Pete Alonso. And I don't know if most people know what that means. It means that, like, say Nimmo and Lindor, one of those guys ends up on second base with one out, and you have Pete Alonso up with the first base open. Well, before, with Jeff McNeil batting in cleanup spot behind him, which is possible, and they did it last year, and they did it in spring training this year even. I'm not pitching to Pete Alonso. I'm not giving him anything close to the heart of the plate to drive a run in from second base, knowing that first base is open and I don't have to throw him a strike. Or, and then with JD Martinez behind him, I don't really want to pitch to Pete Alonso still, but I'm not going to easily give him first base, because then you have first and second with JD Martinez up, a guy that can hit 40 home runs in a season again. He hit 33 in limited games last year. It just gives Pete that protection to know he's going to get some pitches to hit this season on a more regular basis than he would without him behind him. And on top of that, my favorite part of it is that it gives Carlos Mendoza a ton of flexibility, because he's got Lindor locked in at the two, Alonso at the three, and JD Martinez at the four. So those are your three biggest hitters, and they're locked in, and they're probably going to play every single day once JD Martinez comes up, or at least majority of those days, especially the first two played in 160 plus last year. That allows Nimmo at the leadoff spot to be there. And if he's not working out, or if Starling Marte, who now doesn't have to hit fifth, can hit seventh or eighth, if he starts showing that he's got that speed, he stole a base and looked the part. He bunt single at the end of spring training. He looks healthy. If he's dynamic, like the guy that they signed to that four-year deal, and he's going to steal 40 bags, move him to that leadoff spot. Move Nimmo, who's all of a sudden showed some power surge. He's not a base stealer. He's an on-base machine, but he's not a base stealer. He doesn't have to be. Move him to that five spot, six spot, or even lower to allow him to flip over that. And then you have, if we get McNeil that's batting, like challenging for a batting title, we can move him to that leadoff spot, or, and it takes pressure off of Francisco Alvarez to produce. Brett Beatty can now hit eighth and just relax. Like, it just allows people to take a deep breath and not have to produce, because you know that JD Martinez has a track record of being big in those moments. So I love it. It makes the lineup so challenging for a pitcher that they can't just take a deep breath, pitch around guys, find a hole. That it just allows the Mets to relax a little bit, and Carlos Mendoza to pencil in 2, 3, 4 every day and not worry about anything else. He can go focus on six spots rather than 10. It's wild.
I love pretty much everything you said there. I wanted to focus in on the protecting Pete Alonso thing, because I do agree. Not a lot of people might, they might not know what that means. And I think it's explained pretty well statistically. And last year, with a runner on second base in any scenario when Pete Alonso was up, he walked 14 times in 62 plate appearances, which is about roughly, 30% of the time. 468 on base, which sounds great, but you want Pete to be slugging in those scenarios. You want him to be hitting, and he's not really getting those pitches to hit. It was kind of the same thing in 2022 when the team was really good. 37 walks to 31 strikeouts in runners in scoring position scenarios. And obviously, we had the line moving back then. That lineup was very cohesive. But it does expand this lineup, and it gives Pete a chance to, maybe see a fastball or two in those counts. And who knows, maybe he'll his offensive numbers will go to new heights. But that's not even speaking on what JD Martinez brings to the table in this four hole. And I think what we were missing last year compared to 2022 was, in 2022, the top four was the same every day, and it was awesome. It was Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, day in and day out until Marte got hurt. I think this year we're going to see that, I hope, in some form with Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, and Martinez. And I think that's going to be really helpful to the Mets' everyday routine and getting into a rhythm and hopefully emulating the offense that we saw in 2022 that could come back from anything and string together a rally out of nowhere. So I loved everything you said there. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest before we dive into these over-unders?
No, there is two things. But you said it. Like, they're going to lock in Nimmo, those top four probably, for the foreseeable future. The question marks are Francisco Alvarez, who both of us are predicting an all-star level breakout from, and I think he's capable. He hit 25 home runs last year, and he had like streaks of just completely looking lost at the plate, right. And he's got another year there, and he's very exciting. Brett Beatty, who we still think can be a guy, but now he's still got home run potential. We don't know what we're getting, but that's a true wild card. You have Harrison Bader, who is a defensive guy who's shown streaks of power and production, but he is focused and he has mentioned it, which I think is so smart. He understands who he is as a player. He wants to be healthy enough to play defense and he wants to get on base. Mm. So he's going to make the pitchers work. He's going to be aggressive when he gets when he is aggressive. And Starling Marte, who's one of the most dynamic players in the game when he's healthy. Obviously, he's older. We haven't seen it since before the injury in 2022. Who knows? He might be that guy. He looked like that guy at the end of spring training. He hit the ball for power. He bunt singled. He stole a base. He looked great. So that's exciting. I think that's a good piece. And those numbers with runners in scoring position are even more skewed because if it's less than two outs and they want to put Pete on even more so last year, like, you know, that's him being aggressive and trying to go make things happen. The one thing I did want to ask you about is Jordan Montgomery's signing real quick.
Oh, yeah. Last night.
He went to the Diamondbacks, which also good for them. But that's – I can't believe that's the contract that he ended up with. But it kind of puts a little, like, the flame out because the Mets were still on the hunt. And I think the Yankees fans should feel terrible.
I don't know, man. Like, there's a world where Snell and Montgomery are free agents again next offseason, which is absurd to me. If you said that to me, you know, at the beginning of offseason, I wouldn't have believed you. And maybe the Mets had that thought as well, and they're thinking, okay, when we have $100 million freed up, let's go after those guys then, and let's see them do it another year. But at the same time, you know, 1 year for 25 with that vesting option, if he makes, I think, 10 starts, that's huge, man. That's a great deal for the Diamondbacks who are going, you know, full pension here and just trying to get everything going after that World Series year. I don't know. It felt like something the Mets could have done. I'm not heartbroken over it, but after seeing that number, I'm like, damn, I would have loved that for sure. Even if we do some deferral stuff like we do with JDM.
Yeah, I think that their willingness to not close the book ever on anything, and they never say never. And it feels truly like that's the case because they're like, oh, you know, we don't want to spend, but if the right thing presents itself, they've shown themselves to be willing to make deals when they feel like they're getting a great value out of it. And so that's exciting for everything, you know, for the deadline. You see what happens. They've shown a willingness to trade away guys last year, and they've shown a willingness to go get it. So at the deadline, if we're close, man, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that deadline, it'll loom, I think, for probably especially June and July when, you know, I'm assuming the Mets will be around 500 by then, and that'll be when they have to make their push if they're going to be buyers or sellers. But if they are sellers, there will be plenty to sell, including JD Martinez. And that actually kind of leads perfectly into our first over-under if you're ready to dive in.
Let's dive. Let's do it.
So this first one comes from at @NYMets_fan, Chris, on Twitter. He's a longtime follower of Shea Station. I've seen him pop up, so shout-outs to him. And he had the first one that caught my eye. He asked us, do you think the Mets will be over or under three games back from a playoff spot at the trade deadline? So I adjusted that to 2.5 to make it more of a line, whether or not you think that's fair or not. But last year, when the Mets did their sell-off, they were six games back. And, you know, argue whether or not you think they could have made it or not. I think we all thought that was probably the best move after watching them play for 4 months. But I don't know. This is a good question because over in this case, I think would be the bad thing because they're further out. And 2.5 games is something you can make up in one series. And that could be the difference between the Mets going for it, not going for it, or standing pat. So I'm curious to see where you land on this one.
I like the over-under. 2.5 feels like a good sharp goal to have around that deadline. There is a difference I find in this year's team and their flexibility in last year's team that was six games back. It felt like more than that. It felt like daunting because the pieces were kind of falling apart anyway. We didn't know health of anyone. Nothing was secure. If the Mets are,
you know
six
what?
Games,
let me pause you. Don't stop saying we're. Because we're part of the team, man. I go to
that,
the.
I agree. I buy the tickets.
I buy the hot dogs.
I feel it.
I'm
but
there.
Like on when I'm on TV, we're advised not to say we.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, because even though we cover the team,
Jerry, you were on the team.
I know. It's wild. But so if the Mets are six games back and it's shaped different than it was last year, I don't expect them to automatically sell. I can see scenarios where they're six, seven games back.
Yeah.
They've got Senga coming into his own now, and they're making a push, and Severino is looking great. Alvarez and the top four guys are banging, and they're making a push. I could see them making some moves. That's the thing. They have flexibility now. They have pieces in place for the future, and they know that they have guys on unlimited deals. I could see them making a push regardless of how far they're back. But I like the over-under of 2.5. I'm going to take the over because I'm an optimist at heart, and I truly think this team is a contender for a wild card spot. And so from a playoff spot, from the NL East, I might have taken the under there. But as far as, you know, wild card, I think they're all over it.
So just to clarify, when you're spinning this positive take, you're saying that they're going to be closer than 2.5 games.
Correct.
So this would be the under.
As in they're going to be better.
Okay, so this would be the under in that case. Yeah. It's kind of a weird reverse scenario.
Yeah,
first
okay.
One.
I was okay, over that makes sense.
I sabotaged you a little
so
bit.
So that reminds me of the if the thermostat, if it's hot outside and the thermostat is on 72,
yeah,
and you want to turn the AC on, do you say, hey, can you turn the thermostat down, or do you think you need to turn the thermostat?
I would say turn the thermostat down. In that case, yeah. In a positive sense, though.
Yeah, turn the AC up or turn the AC down. Like, you know what I mean?
See, that's the trick. You can't say AC.
Semantics.
You would say turn the temperature down. Lower the temperature. See, now we're getting...
Yeah, you got to be specific. So I think the Mets will be closer than 2.5 games.
Okay. And I'll play contrarian, and I will say I think they'll be further than 2.5 games. One, because I like to be pleasantly surprised, and if I look back on this graphic that goes out, and I go, oh, okay, I was betting against them. I think I'll be happy. And the other side of it is what we just talked about. We talked about Jordan Montgomery to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dude, the NL West is scary. Like, I think
it is.
Four teams from that division might make the playoffs in the Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, and Dodgers. Sorry to my Rocks, who I'm now friends with, but I don't know, guys. I don't think it's your year. And that's not even factoring in the Phillies, who are likely going to take up a spot, and then someone from the NL Central who might click in the Cubs or Reds or something like that. So there's going to be a lot of competition in the National League this year. I think it was a little bit more wide open last year, where a team like the Diamondbacks could win 84 games, get into the dance, and see what happens. I think the NL, you're going to need to kind of be more of a juggernaut this year. And I think the Mets are capable of it, but a lot of things have to click. The rotation has to be, you know, still healthy 4 months into the season, and we'll see. A lot of these guys haven't made over 20 starts in their career, or at least in the past 4 years. That's the biggest thing for me, because I think I believe in this offense now, because of what we just talked about with JD Martinez and how he lengthens everything. And obviously I've sung the praises of the bullpen pretty much the entirety of spring. It's really the rotation, and I'm curious to see where it lands. The depth is there, but I'm wondering how deep these guys can go into games, how much they can save the bullpen from getting taxed throughout the season. So I'm going to cautiously say over. I think it's like a close over, though. I think they could be 3-4 games back and still be in the realm of possibility and maybe just stand pat.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. So to me, I agree with you. I think the health of the rotation, the effectiveness of the rotation is everything for this team right now.
Yeah.
And Senga coming back. They need a
True. I didn't think
they
about
need
that.
A guy that can dominate a game every once in a while. And I think Severino might be that guy. But it's still a question mark. We know what Senga can do. He can win you a ball game.
Right. I mean, he did it many times last year.
Yeah, he could win you a ball game. Just throw up, you know, 6-7-0s, and your team just feels better. They need a stopper, and so hopefully he comes back. He's supposed to be throwing and feeling good. So,
well, you mentioned 6 or 7 zeros. What about 9 zeros, Jerry? Because that's what our next over under is asking us. This is a good one because I want to believe. I really want to believe. It's Choco on Twitter. Shout out to him. It's with a Z,
it's
by
Choco.
The way. Very okay. Hip. Asked us, do you think the Mets will throw over or under 0.5 complete games this year? Now, they've had a complete game every year since 2021. The thing is, they've been shortened complete games, like rained it. Like David Peterson got one last year for throwing 5 innings. The last true complete game by a Mets starter was Jacob deGrom in April of 2021, that amazing 15-strikeout game he had against the Nationals. That's been our one true complete game in 3 years. And that's a game that I've gone back and I've watched because I love watching a pitcher go nine. I know it's not conventional. It's not standard anymore. It doesn't happen. But I really, really want to see one. I'm going to go first here. I'm going to spin my pessimism into optimism for this one. I'm going to take the over. I want one guy to go nine. If it happens in June or July and it's you save the bullpen for a day, you're a hero for a day, you can give up a run. I don't mind. You know, get it under 110 pitches. I want to see a Met throw a complete game. I'm taking the over.
That's beautiful. I'm proud of you. Can I ask you a step further?
Sure.
And just for fun, give me a guess on who you think it's going to be.
Oh, it's a
give
great
me a prediction
question,
on
Jerry. It's a great
which
question.
Which starting pitcher?
You know what? Let's see. I'm going to do a quick little bit of research because I think I have my pick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with Sean Manaea. Big dude.
All right.
Got the haircut. No more hair in the way. He threw two shutouts in 2021. One was a no-hitter, I believe, if I remember
it
correctly.
Did.
And I don't know, man. Like, if I look up and down the roster, I don't think it'll be Seve because Seve hasn't thrown a lot of innings in a while. Tyler McGill would be nice, but I just don't see it happening. I think Sean Manaea could be the guy to do it, and I'm hoping he can get the job done, even though he doesn't know what's
like
a goal
it.
Of this.
I like your optimism. I'm an easy under.
Yeah.
I can't see it happening for nine innings. I really can't. I like your Manaea pick, but that's a different style
right.
of pitching. He's velo now. He's
yeah.
he's throwing electric stuff, trying to make it last. His whole goal is to keep that 93 to 95 mile per hour velocity as long as he can. And I don't think it plays deeper into ball games the same way. His effort level is higher. I don't see a guy on the roster. I think Tylor McGill might be the only one
okay.
that can do it, to be honest, or even a David Peterson when he's at his best, but I don't see it happening. I would put money that he, like, if you could shape it. I'm not a gambler except for fantasy football, and I just started a fantasy baseball league with my college teammates.
Whoa.
I got re-invited, which is exciting, but I don't see it happening. I would love for it. I love watching it. I don't see it happening.
Well, David Stearns' Brewers last year had one complete game. It was a real one. It was Brandon Woodruff against the Marlins in September. So you never know. Maybe
yeah,
he's willing
possible.
To let his guys go.
Would an eight inning in a losing effort on the road count?
I would count that. If the full
okay.
game is played, then I would count it.
Yeah.
That is kind of a okay. weird caveat, though. I understand.
But you only have to pitch eight innings. That's fine.
So eight innings is still a lot. Did a Met go eight innings last year? I would bet no. I would honestly bet no.
I don't think so.
All right, so that's a great line from It's Choco. Shout out to
Good
them.
Good job. Is it Choco or Choco?
Oh, Chocolate? Oh, it's probably Choco.
I Jerry, don't know, but Choco sounds cooler.
You got to chime in sooner, man. You got to save
Choco
me.
Choco Taco. I don't know. I figure you're hip.
Oh,
you
we're talking about Choco
people.
Tacos again? Did I hear you drop that?
I love it. Yeah.
Jerry, it's been too long. Didn't they get discontinued?
I hope not. Somebody will pick them up like the Twinkie.
There's a whole generation of kids who may never have a Choco Taco, and that's terrible.
How dare you?
That is terrible. This is a fun one. I'm going to bump this one up. Shout out to @JRSimpson on Instagram. You may know him better as the man behind the instrumental on our very theme song, Jordan Simpson. Shout out to him. He had
Love
a great
that.
Line. Over or under 99.5 home runs combined for Alonso, JD Martinez, and Francisco Alvarez. Now, I'll tell you this. Last year, this trio would have combined for 104. They got into triple digits. Most of it was Alonso. He hit 46 quietly, which is insane. JD Martinez had 33, and Francisco Alvarez had 25. So I like this question because it's kind of a matter of how much do you think Alvarez will step up? Do you think Alonso can maintain where he's at? And how much power do you think JD Martinez is going to have in a more cavernous City Field ballpark? So I'm going to let you lead off here. Let me know what you think.
Oh, that's 30-30 from Alvarez and JD.
You'd have
and
to start
40,
there.
40 yeah. from Alonso. 30-30-40? Right. Oh, man.
It's tough.
That's a good one because those are basically the over-unders on where you would draw the line for them over Pete Alonso, 40 homers,
yep.
and then both 30. JD Martinez isn't going to get all the games in because he's starting in the minor leagues. Gosh, I'm going to take the over though.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take Pete Alonso in his walk year, his platform year. I'm thinking 50 out of him. I'm thinking 35 out of JD Martinez, because I think, you know, as big as City Field can play, right field in Pittsburgh, or right field in Philly and right field in Atlanta are jokes. And also in Miami, that short porch in right field, this guy drives the ball the other way like nobody before him. Like his power is right center field from a right-handed hitter. That's crazy to me. So I'll take the over. I like all three of those guys to have productive years. And I think I would be disappointed if Francisco Alvarez doesn't take another step forward and hit 30 this year.
So that's where I'm at. I think Alvarez is kind of the key to the whole thing here. I'm trying to see how much he went. Yeah, I mean, Martinez went oppo 25% of the time last year, 30% the year before. So, like, he's capable. For me, it's Francisco. I need him to get to 30 because I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think I need JD to hit 30. I think I just need JD to be a productive extra base hit guy behind Pete Alonso, knocking in runs, hitting for a high average, whatever. And you'd like the power to come with that.
Just to produce runs. To
exactly.
That's what we need out of your cleanup.
Because I agree. That was a point I was going to make with Pete, is that I think contract year, I think those numbers are going to go up. He's got JD Martinez protection now. He's got something to play for. I think that he might have a chip on his shoulder from last year. Maybe that number goes up. Maybe you see 50. I think I'm also going to take the over because they did it last year with kind of two ghost months from Alvarez, kind of a weird down June from Pete Alonso, and then Martinez on a different team.
That
I think
June was horrible.
I think
Remember
it might
how
go.
He got, he was like,
yeah, he was
post game. He got humbled by baseball, and it'll do that to you. And I think he learned a lot from it.
Yeah. What did Pete bat in June? It was tough.
Oh, it's like under 200, maybe even under 100.
Whoa. Yeah, he batted 152 with a 586 OPS. Yeah. And then every other month was great, which is insane.
September was tough too, I think.
Yeah, he stumbled a little bit at the end. Still at his home run, so I got 7 that month.
Yeah.
But
I think they get the over here. I'm glad that he added Alvarez instead of Lindor, because that's that's another 30-30 season. 30-30-40. So I like the over.
I was going to say this before. I think it might not even be 40-30-30. I think we might see like 50-25-25. Like, I think that might be our recipe.
That's over too.
That's over. So, I mean, 50, there's different ways to get 25. There. Yeah. I'm excited though. Because again, 100 home runs out of these guys in the lineup.
I don't want to put this on Pete, but I was excited for Conforto's walk year under different circumstances, different leadership. It was different, but I was surprised that Conforto didn't perform to his best ability his walk year.
So, I mean, there's some pressure that goes with it.
There's a non-zero chance that it affects him negatively, but I truly think that he'll be. I mean, he's excelled in the spotlight. He lives for those kinds of things. So I think it's going to motivate him even more. Not that he needs it.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question to ask because, like, it is a matter of pressure and how you respond to it. And I'm hoping
this is if he plays well. I mean, he's got generational wealth. If he struggles, he's going to be another year to year kind of guy. He has to go out and prove himself again. So it's there's a lot on the line for him this year, and that there's no beating around the bush. This is a big deal for him. He'll be fine financially. No matter what happens, he's already done well for himself through arbitration and everything. But this is a chance for him to make, nine figures.
Make that MVP money.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of, getting the big deal and, making the most of it, Jerry, I need you to offer some insight here.
Okay.
We have a line from CJ Maurice, so if I'm saying that right, on Instagram, over or under 5.5 Jerry Blevins appearances in the Mets booth in 2024. Now, I don't know if you know the exact number from last year. I'm hoping you can offer some wisdom here.
I think it was 3 because I think I did one series in Cincinnati. I'm going to take the easy under here. I am scheduled for 0 games in
the
booth. I can see them calling me up to fill in again when the team goes to Cincinnati or, Cleveland or Detroit, somewhere in the Midwest, which is my my stomping ground where those guys don't want to go. I would love to be the over on this. But that number that number is a little high for me.
Well, I like that you're doing the whole hedging your bets thing that I did with the playoff spot. So I'll do the opposite. I'll go over because then if I'm right, then you're happy and, you know, whatever. And if I'm wrong, man, then you win the bet.
I would love to do more. I think it's so fun. And to me, honestly, being in the booth is easier than doing pre and post game. I think that for me, it's less work. I have to be prepared and all that. And the stakes are higher, obviously, but so much goes into video breakdown and picking all that stuff up. And, but the game to me, I just get to, you know, whoever my partner is, I just get to talk baseball. So it's definitely more free flow and more fun and less actual diving into the work. So.
Yeah. Maybe we just need Keith Hernandez to tend to his garden or Ron Darling to get a national gig somewhere. And then that'll free up, you know, two series. Who knows? You know?
Yeah. We'll see. You know, I'd be willing to get the call to the big leagues for that.
All right, what else we got here? Let's get serious again. We got a little silly there, and this is a serious podcast, as you guys know. I like this line a lot. This was something that they did on Talking Yanks when they did their version of this episode. So I want to ask you, because this is kind of important. You know, you want consistency from your rotation. We saw that a lot in 2022 when it was kind of the same five dudes, and you know, we had the Scherzer and DeGrom injuries, but it was Bassett, Walker, Carrasco, all making, you know, around 30 starts. So, over or under 10.5 different starting pitchers used during the season. This comes from Lilith6742 on Twitter. Shout out to her. Last year, the Mets used 10 starters. So, right under this line. The year before, they used 11. 12 has been the average since 2015. And I think that's kind of the average for most teams. So, how much will the Mets plunge into their depth? Can they rely on the five guys that are on this opening day roster? And also a caveat to this question, are all of these starters going to be on the team the whole season? Because if some of them get traded, a lot of guys will get moved around, called up. Maybe Budo and Lucchese get some looks. So I'm curious to see where you land. I'll let you lead off on this one.
You want me to lead off? Yeah. I was going to let you lead off.
No, I can lead off.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I think I'm going to take
pick.
I think I'm going to take the over on this one, but not for any, you know, worrisome reason. I think this is kind of part of the Mets' plan. I think they want to protect these guys a little bit because there are caveats with Severino, who hasn't made over 20 starts since 2019 or 18, I believe. Sean Manaea, like you alluded to before, is more of a velocity guy now, not so much an innings eater. Tyler McGill, we've seen, you know, the lifespan of his arm in prior seasons. There's been injury woes and stuff like that. I think they're going to try and protect these guys, and you might see a lot of starters used earlier in the season. Like Lucchese, I think, had a good spring and, you know, showed, you know, flashes last year, especially when everyone went down or traded. I think he's going to get a look. Jose Budo looked great in spring training. I think they'd be foolish to not give him a shot. And that's not even mentioning the prospects in the system that might be ready. Christian Scott looked great against the Marlins in spring training. Mike Vassell is going to be projected to start with the team this year. The Mets have options, and I think they'd be foolish not to try and use those options to the best of their ability. I don't even think that these guys necessarily will be traded because I'm trying to keep that optimist point of view. I knocked over Keith Hernandez. That's my bad. So I will take the over here. I think it'll be a slight over, probably on a dozen starters used.
I'm going to take the over as well.
Yeah.
This team isn't built to have five guys make 34 starts, you know. It's built to give – you know, there was talk of a six-man rotation so many times. You're going to have David Peterson coming back. Like you said, Jose Budo, by the way, I'm pumped for this guy.
Yeah.
I think he changed – he got a new regime and got a different look now. He has a chance to – I think – he was looked at before as just a guy, like a really good AAA pitcher that could fill in, maybe back of the rotation. He pitched his butt off last year.
No pun intended.
Budo off. And I did that. I know. Yeah. I'm embarrassed for myself. And he also, he looked great. He's done the things that he needs to. He's worked really well to get himself into a position to be a guy. So I see him making moves. Lucchese, he's proven that he could do things at the big league level. And then if you got a young guy, like you said, like Christian Scott and Vassell, ready to go, they're going to force their way in there to give, you know, a Manaea, a Severino, you know, Kodai Senga, who's going to be one of, you know, make it six already.
True. Yeah.
You're going to get, yeah, I'm going to take the over. That's an easy one for me. And it's not a detriment to any of these guys. I just think it's mathematically, like, the average is 12, you said, right?
Yeah.
So I'll take the average.
Yeah,
I'll
I mean,
play the
even
field.
With like quick math, you have the five that are slated on opening day. You have Senga, you have Lucchesi and Buddha. That already puts you at eight. I think we all assume those guys are going to get starts. Maybe the Mets get kooky and use an opener or something like that. So I think it's an easy over, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think the convention
Completely
of
agree.
Five starters for the whole season
is
gone.
I'll take the over on that for sure.
Well, you mentioned some of the younger dudes, and this one comes from at BradySmith64 on Twitter. I liked this line a lot. I adjusted it a little bit. Let me know what you think. We can go back to his line if you want. He's asking about prospects. He asked, over or under 2.5 top 10 prospects make their debut with the Mets this year. So this doesn't include Mauricio, who unfortunately is going to miss probably all of the year, I assume. And he made his debut last year, so he's out. This is more focused on guys like Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, Luis Angel Acuna, Vasel, Tidwell, Christian Scott, all those guys we mentioned before. They're all
Jet
projected
Williams.
To join the Mets this year, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I'm curious to see what you think about the young dudes joining the team. Because we got to see a lot of them play.
I don't know a ton about these guys, but that would be the what is it? 2.5?
2.5 is what I adjusted. He originally said 3.5.
30% of the top 10 prospects would have to graduate. I mean, you're going to get a pitcher here or there.
Yeah.
Is Dominic Hamill considered a top 10?
I think I would count him. I mean, he got a decent look in spring and he said his goal to make it this year.
If it's not specific to the top 10, then I think I'll take the over.
Okay.
Just simply because pitching, I mean, you're going to need guys to come in and the bullpen. You're going to need a starter here or there to get to that 12 number that we talked about just last question about who's going to come in. I think that's an okay line. I don't think it's impactful, but I think guys are, I'll take the over you're going to get. If Acuna is ready and somebody goes down, I think they won't hesitate to bring him up because that's what they traded for.
Yeah.
So it's not about they don't want to start his clock now. If they get to a point to where they need somebody and they want to give an extended look, hell yeah, bring those guys up.
Why not, right? Yeah. See, I don't know because I don't think Jet Williams will come up this year, although we're all really excited for him. I think one we'll definitely see is Christian Scott. And we got to chat with him and he was very, you know, he was a great guest and he just looked really good against the Marlins, looked like totally in control of his stuff. Oh, my light went out. I got to wave my arms around in a second. I think I'm going to take the under here and I'm going to explain why after I do this. That was a treat for the YouTube fans. Got to get my lights back on.
Sick. Hey, wait, whose jersey are you wearing, by the way?
This is a sweatshirt. No name on the back. I'm on the team.
Oh,
another
it's
reason
a
why
hoodie?
I say we when I talk about the Mets. I bought
That's
this from
hoodie?
The Mets team store. Yeah, it's nice. You want to see?
That's nice.
Oh, yeah. This is my flex hoodie.
Come on, I man. Like that.
It's one of my favorites. I don't wear it a lot because it's like a cream color, and I don't want to get
bucks?
Dirty. This was a lot of money. Yeah, it was,
yeah
this was.
Nice.
I went to a Mets D-backs game like 2 years ago, was not dressed for the wind, and bought a sweatshirt. Yeah.
Good man. Purchase. That's awesome.
What the hell was I saying?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go under. I think the names I see here, I think I believe in Christian Scott coming up. I think Drew Gilbert makes a ton of sense as like a September call-up. But a lot of the other guys, like Parada, I don't think so. Jet Williams, I don't think so. And I'm cautiously optimistic that they won't have to lean into their pitching depth and the prospects as much as they might have to in the real world. And I'd like to think that the depth they've established with like fringe major leaguers, quadruple A guys will be enough to get them there. So I'll cautiously take the under, but mostly because I think we're going to see all of these guys in 2025 and the Mets are going to have a really fun problem on their hands of too many talented bodies on the roster.
That's why I took the over now, because they're going to see these guys next season at the least. And it'd be nice to get a head start on who these guys are. And get them, see them at the big league level, get a, you know, their cup of coffee and to see how they compete. So
I like that rationale.
Cool.
Jerry, we have one more over under on today's show, and it is a good one. They've all been good. Shout out to you guys for
they
submitting
have.
Them.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
If you miss those posts, follow us on socials. And you won't miss it next time, and maybe we'll read you on the show. This last one comes from toe underscore knee on 48 on Instagram. Shout out to him. He asked specifically about Luis Severino. I'm going to convert this to all Mets starters.
Okay.
Over or under 0.5, so one or none, Cy Young votes for a Mets starter this year.
In general.
In general, because okay. There's some twists and turns. Kodai Senga might miss 2 months. We know how much of a wild card everyone else is. How good is Edwin Diaz going to be? He could get a Cy Young vote. So if you're over, I want to know who it's for. And if you're under, I want to know why.
Yeah, I'm over, and it's for Edwin Diaz.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think he's going to have a lights-out season. And I think he'll get some down-ballot votes just for his dominance.
I like
but
that.
I do like Severino, man. I do like it. I know it's tough. I know he hasn't had one since his last All-Star season, 18 or 19. And his health has been an issue. But he's in a platform year. He was a free agent, but this he signed a 1-year cheap deal. You know, Jordan Montgomery just got 25, and Severino got 13. And if their ceilings are met, I think Severino's a more talented, higher-end starting pitcher. So he's very motivated to go out there. This guy looked like he was going to be an absolute stud for the Yankees, be a lifetime Yankee, one of those homegrown guys. And, his health held him back, and he underperformed and had a horrendous year statistically last year, too. I could see him, having some Cy Young votes. I truly think his ceiling is Cy Young, but I don't think health, and I don't think the Mets will push him if they're contending, because they want him in October. But at least I think at least Edwin Diaz gets it. But I like Sevy, and I like that toe under knee.
Yeah.
I like that toe under knee, or Tony. I'm assuming his name's Tony.
I would assume. I didn't dive in too much.
Yeah, I think Tony is right here to pick Severino, because he's got lights out stuff when he's on, and it's all about health. So I think I'll take Diaz and Sevy.
Yeah, we've sung the praises of Sevy. He is very clearly, I think, the biggest upside guy in this rotation. Also probably the biggest wild card. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to put my eggs in the Severino basket, I think, as well.
I mean,
he's a guy that finished top 10 2 years in a row in 17 and 18, which is, a long time ago at this point, but that is the guy he was at age 23 and 24. At age 30, I still think there's something in the tank for him. The big thing for me, I mean, we don't want to do spring training stats too much. One walk in 14 innings, one walk in four starts, a 0.71 whip. Strikeout stuff was there, man. Like there's something to believe in with Luis Severino if he stays healthy. If he can give me 25 starts this year and get to 150 or 60 innings. I'm not saying he's going to win the award, but it'd be hard to ignore him in that case, because I think those would all be pretty solid, decent innings. The Mets are going to have to protect him. We all know that. And I think that out of everyone, if Senga is going to miss, 8 starts or whatever the number might be, I think Severino is the best pick here. So I'm going to cautiously take the over, and I'm going to say it's going to be him in the end.
I like it.
But also shout out Jose Quintana, because he's our opening day starter.
I like Jose too. I don't see, he's not a Cy Young type guy, but again, if he's consistent, he was Cy Young type guy last year.
Yeah, it's true.
His numbers in the second half were ridiculous, but
he's quality start Quintana.
Like that was a good one. Thank you, Tony.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed all 7 of those. Thank you so much, guys. If you submitted a line to us, we appreciate you. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave a like on the YouTube video, subscribe to the channel. Don't be shy. Maybe leave us
subscribe.
A 5-star review if you're listening
on
a podcast app.
On YouTube.
It notifies you when there's a new episode. I'm so glad you asked, Jerry. This is a great learning.
Does that help our station if we have people touching the bell? I know the whole algorithm.
I like the way you're talking right now. You're using all the YouTube lingo.
This is out of my realm, but is that like, I know how many things, because they always say like and subscribe.
Right.
But if people are getting notifications, does the system know that?
I think that they're less likely to miss your upload in that case, because sometimes YouTube gets wonky and they brush us under the rug. But
you guys are great. Thank you, audience. If you feel it in your hearts to help out the channels, please do so.
We do appreciate you. We'll see you sometime next week. We're not really sure yet, but by then the Mets will be winning baseball games, and that's really exciting. So,
happy opening day.
Happy opening day.
You guys. I hope it's Thursday because I know that Jolly, you are one of many that are excited about opening day.
All right, guys, listen to this amazing outro music. We will see you next time, and let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Let's, because
we're on the team. Because we pay for
we have a rooting interest. So it is.
We also kind of market the team, if you think about it.
That, especially with that fire sweatshirt you got there.